This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen joining you. Miscarriage has never been easy. And with more and more women having babies later in life, postponing motherhood due to career paths, many are also seeking reproductive help, making the stakes even higher. Well, here with more on all of this is Dr. Shaki Badaway, Professor and Director of Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University, and Kathleen Dermody, Certified Nurse Midwife, also from Upstate Medical University. Welcome. Thanks for both to both of you for coming in. Dr. Badaway, let me start with you. Give me a definition, a medical definition of miscarriage. What is it exactly?
Yes, miscarriage is loss of a pregnancy before viability. Most of these cases occur in the first trimester or 3 months, but up to 20 weeks, it is still considered to be a miscarriage.
And why do they occur? Do we know?
There are many factors that lead to miscarriage. Some of them are endocrine factors. Some of them are immunological factors. And some of them are factors related to abnormalities in the uterus or the lining of the uterus.
Like someone having cervical insufficiency, for example, the ability to hold.
Cervical insufficiency is one, but also they could have a septum in the uterus. They could have a bicornuate uterus.
So the shape of the uterus.
The shape of the uterus.
What's going on in the uterus.
Or they could have also a lesion inside the uterus, like a submucous polyp or a submucous fibroid, a small there, interfering with the implantation process, and therefore miscarriage happens.
How about things like infection? Do you ever see that as playing a role
yes.
as well?
Yes, infection plays a big role because it could infect the sac, it could infect the lining of the uterus, and in both situations, the pregnancy cannot stay.
How about underlying conditions? Like if a person is diabetic or has thyroid disease or has undergone or severe kidney disease, for
right.
example.
Right. We stated number one, metabolic and endocrine problems. For example, diabetes, which is uncontrolled, severe hypertension that's uncontrolled, kidney problems that are uncontrolled. We look into all these factors. In addition, thyroid disease, both low thyroid and high thyroid.
Hypo and hyper.
Hyper, all of them interfere. And that's part of the workup that the physician will undergo in the process of management of this situation.
How about lifestyle factors? Things like smoking and alcohol. We've often heard that you can have an alcohol, fetal alcohol syndrome. That's after a baby is actually developing and born. But does it have an impact even on the pregnancy?
Yes. It has a very serious impact, especially smoking, drinking too much. All these have a negative effect, and that's why in counseling those patients, we see if they are smokers, we try to get them out of smoking habits to decrease as much as possible the intake of the alcohol. That is part of the problem, of course.
What percentage of people who have miscarriages have them because of a chromosomal abnormality? In other words, the pregnancy wasn't right to begin with.
Chromosomal abnormalities lead to about 50 to 60% of the pregnancy losses.
So that's a majority.
It's the majority of the miscarriages are due to that. And of course, as the woman grows older, these chromosomal abnormalities will be higher.
That's what I was going to ask you. With so many more women putting off, getting pregnant because they have career aspirations and education and long paths to get to where they want career-wise, they're waiting longer and longer to have their first babies.
Exactly.
Are you seeing an increase in miscarriages secondary to that?
Well, first of all, there is increase in infertility. They are unable to achieve pregnancy as easy as they were in the 20s or 30s for the same reason, because the egg is, so to speak, old and liable to these chromosomal abnormalities. And therefore, when fertilization happens and pregnancy happens, then this pregnancy, in the majority of cases, is going to be ending in a miscarriage or an abnormality.
So you definitely see a higher rate in these in older women. Kathleen, how does someone know that they're having a miscarriage? What are some of the signs and symptoms?
Women often will notify their healthcare provider that they're having, that they've, number one, had a positive pregnancy test, and that they may be having symptoms of cramping or spotting. Sometimes it can occur as a delayed period when they're not sure when their cycles are. Many women have irregular cycles.
And in that case, it just kind of happens and they don't even necessarily pay attention to it?
Well, they may not be aware of their cycle regularity.
I mean, that they may not be, they may not even know they have been pregnant,
for
example.
That's correct, right. But I would say for the vast majority of women, especially the population that Dr. Badaway is referring to, they know the moment they became pregnant. They know when that pregnancy test was positive. And often they've had a sonogram. So they may feel cramping. Sometimes it's a normal cramping, but they're on a heightened state of alert. Because of the risk of the pregnancy. So they may...
And there's blood as well.
They may see some blood, some spotting. It may be very heavy. It may be light. So it's very individualized.
So Dr. Badaway, how is it diagnosed? How do you know? I mean, when is the spotting normal or okay during a pregnancy? And when is it a sign of a miscarriage?
When a woman comes to me and says, well, my pregnancy test is positive, and I have been spotting or bleeding, some cramping, as Kathleen mentioned, we get the patient and we ask her about factors, what she taking, vitamins, she drinking, smoking, diabetic, alcoholic, whatever. And then after that, we get to the exam, put her on the exam table, put the speculum in, look at the cervix.
So you do a pelvic exam.
Right.
That's the gold standard. So
yes, to see if the cervix is dilated, any products of conception coming out or no. And then we always do a sonogram to look at the sac, pregnancy sac, and to the embryo, and whether there is fetal heart or no fetal heart, and we'll take it from there.
So if a person, I guess the question is, if you were to find that the person has these other underlying conditions like being diabetic or hypertensive or something of that nature, what's the treatment? What do you do at that point if the person has actually had a miscarriage? What's the next step?
Then if the miscarriage happened and she has all these predisposing factors, then we get her to the treatment phase. Diabetic, then she has to be evaluated for diabetes and be treated until the blood sugar gets to be normal. Same with high blood pressure, to be given the specific medications. Always we ask for consultants, of course, to treat the diabetes and treat the hypertension and all that to be within the normal range before she achieves another pregnancy.
So you basically need to correct whatever these underlying conditions have done.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with obstetrician-gynecologist Dr. Shaki Badaway and Kathleen Dermody. She's a certified nurse midwife. We're talking about miscarriage. So, Kathleen, I think that more and more these days, especially in this population you've been talking about, who are the older women, who may have put off getting pregnant, who are prizing this pregnancy, and may actually have even had to have some reproductive assistance of some kind, there's got to be a very powerful emotional component to this miscarriage. Tell us about that.
There's a tremendous emotional impact on women and their families. As Dr. Badaway referred to, you know, often women have spent a great deal of time emotional, physical time, maybe a great deal of financial investment in this pregnancy achievement. Even those who haven't, the moment that pregnancy test is positive, that woman is bonded. So the length of gestation is irrelevant. If a woman has been trying for 3 years to get pregnant, then that's essentially a 3-year gestation. So as healthcare providers, it's critical that we recognize the importance of this event for women. Give them the appropriate support that they require, and also help their families to support them.
So what are the kinds of things that you're engaged in? Because I know you have all kinds of efforts that you've been making to help women facing this.
Recognizing the event and the significance of the event is critical. If you consider where miscarriage usually leads a woman, as Dr. Badaway said, sometimes very heavy bleeding, a woman may end up having a D&C, which is a surgical procedure. A surgical unit is not necessarily a very supportive unit. They have other priorities. So we're making efforts in the community to outreach surgical centers, different offices information on bereavement, talking to healthcare providers about how to relate to women, and often just recognizing that this is an important event.
It's a loss. Which I think too often becomes ignored or...
That's right. Invisible.
Yeah.
Right. And it is invisible to many folks. And, you know, teaching a family to just say, I'm sorry, or recognizing the pain that this woman is experiencing is an excellent first step in helping her. In the hospital setting, we have cards on doors that that give a visual cue that this mom has experienced a loss. So that lets other healthcare providers, different services that she might have contact with, know that the tenor of this room has changed. You know, this is a mom and a family that has experienced a loss. We give moms mementos. It's very important to recognize the importance of this event in her life. And sometimes that means fingerprints, if they're available, maybe hair samples. We have a memento box that certainly not with miscarriages because the fetus is too small, but in an older gestation.
Like a stillbirth,
right. Generally after 20 weeks, we may dress them and take photos. There's a group, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, provides beautiful photos. We give them a memento box. I brought one in here to show you. And, you know, it's a mom's leave with something. And that's a really important thing. Many of the funeral directors in this area donate services. It's quite a supportive service. There are volunteers who knit and sew these beautiful little 3- and 4-inch outfits for our babies.
That's really heartwarming.
Yes.
Really is. Dr. Badaway, what is the likelihood of getting pregnant after a miscarriage?
It could be easy or it could be difficult. You know, as continuation to what Kathleen mentioned, many of these patients come after the miscarriage to discuss their future fertility and so on. And they sit in the office in front of you and they start crying. They are stressed. They are saddened. Sometimes they have the feeling of blaming themselves. But they are not to be blamed. Miscarriage happened.
Yes.
And if there is an etiology, that should be treated. So if there is a stress factor and sadness continue, of course, they will never forget that for their life. They will always
remember.
That's a
real loss is what you're saying. That doesn't
loss.
Go away.
And it doesn't go away. And it's our duty to ease things around them and explain the facts so they know the facts and they live with these facts. They know that they are not to be blamed. It's something that happened because of a reason.
So taking time to heal physically and emotionally is probably important.
Very important.
But is there a medical concern for how long you should wait? I mean, is there a medical time frame?
No. If the patient is ready to get pregnant, she should get pregnant. In the old days, they used to say, well, you have to wait 3 months. Nobody knew
it
why, for
right.
what reason.
Right.
So there is no reason. I think the sooner they get pregnant, the better, because they have a pregnancy to take care, provided that we did the evaluation and we corrected.
Eliminated any of the factors.
Any factors.
Thank you so very much. We have just a minute or two left.
1 second. I'd like to just mention that it's critical in this next pregnancy, if a woman's able to achieve it, that she's at high risk for depression, stress, anxiety. So care providers need to be on heightened alert. She's not just a worry ward. She's a mom that's experienced a loss.
That sounds very important for us all to remember. Thank you so much. My guests have been Dr. Shaki Badawi, Professor and Director of Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility at the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University, and Kathleen Dermody, Certified Nurse Midwife, also from Upstate. Thanks so much. I'm very pleased to have you here. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.